A very good evening to all the brothers in Christ. So last few days we have been studying you see the subject about our human soul. So what happens to human soul? So we have seen what does the Bible say about the human soul, that it is not immortal, but it dies. So we also saw then what is the meaning of soul from the Bible. And along with that one, we have seen what is the meaning of soul and body plus spirit is the soul. So, and later on, we also seen various scriptures which clearly prove that after death, there is nothing. So until a man comes back from the resurrection, there is no part for him. So whatever things that are done in, you see, in this earth. So there are some scriptures which give us the idea, you see, that the soul doesn't die. The soul is immortal. It goes here and there and all. So today, we are going to see those scriptures, particularly those incidents where this is recorded to us in the Bible. And let us see how does it match with doctrines of the Bible which you have studied till now. Okay, so there are nearly 7 to 8 incidents, so we won't be able to cover up entire thing today itself. So but a few of the things whichever is possible we try to cover up. And the first such incident is from book of Samuel, 28th chapter, where King Saul went and sought a witch from Endor, and she rose up to see the dead Samuel back to life. So let us read this incident, actually what happened. So if you read 1 Samuel 28th chapter, you see it clearly says that the situation was that the Philistines were ready to come and attack the people of Israel. And King Saul was the king, you see. And usually what the king used to do in Israel is that whenever the enemies come to attack, they usually used to contact God and find out whether to go to war or not. So hence, seeing this huge army, King Saul feared a lot. It's given in 1 Samuel 28, chapter 4 and 5. So, what Sam King Saul did is was that he tried to inquire of the Lord whether to go for war or not. But unfortunately, God did not answer him at all, neither by prophets nor by Urim or Thurim. Okay. Can somebody read 1 Samuel 28:6? 1 Samuel 26. Okay, Ganesh Padar.
And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams nor by Urim nor by prophets.
Very good, brother. So, Lord answered him not, neither by dreams or Urim, nor by the prophets. So, God did not answer King Saul at all. And, you know, by that time, Samuel the prophet was already dead. So, there was no. You see, Samuel the prophet also to go and inquire what the Lord would do to him. You see, and let us read verse 3. Verse 3. Okay.
Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that he had familiar spirit and the wizard out of the land.
See, and Samuel was dead by this time, and Lord did not answer him in any way. And the one thing that is recorded here is that Saul had put away all the people who were doing witchcraft, you see, out of the land of Israel. This was as per the covenant which God had given in the law. Lord had told anybody seeking familiar spirits, trying to speak with the dead, they should be put out and killed in the land of Israel. So God did not answer King Saul at all. Why? Because King Saul was disobedient to God in two incidents. As he was disobedient to God in the two incidents, Lord rejected him. Now, which is the first incident? Does anybody remember? Why did God reject King Saul? What are the two incidents? What are the two mistakes that King Saul did? Anybody? Who can answer? Vinod brother? Shaija brother? Stephen brother? Abhishek brother? What is the mistake which Samuel Saul did? Okay, let us read 1 Samuel 13:13. Stephen brother, can you read 1 Samuel 13:13? Stephen brother, you're there? Okay, Shaiji brother, can you read?
Yes, brother. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever."
You see, thou hast done foolishly. So Saul was told to wait till Samuel comes, but before Samuel comes, Saul offers sacrifices to God to please him. So that was a disobedience to God. And the second such incident was when he was told to kill all the Amalekites. But what did King Saul do? King Saul spared all the animals and King Agag alive. This was, you see, very, very displeasing to Lord. 1 Samuel 15 chapter 22 and 23. Say, brother, read, brother, please.
And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king."
See, thou hast rejected the word of God, hence God has rejected you to be the king of Israel. Because he was disobedient in not killing King Agag, the Amalekite. Hence, God withdrew the support to King Saul. Instead, chose David. So since then, what happened? If you see, the evil spirit actually troubled King Saul. And God's spirit had left him. 1 Samuel 16:14. Sajib brother, please read.
"But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him."
And the evil spirit from the Lord had troubled him. So, by this time, God had actually rejected, you see, King Saul. Now, what King Saul is doing is that, against the will of God, he is trying to contact somebody from the dead and speak to the dead. Now, what did the Bible say? What did the law say? You see, law said to kill all these familiar spirits, the people who are doing witchcraft. And when King Saul was a good king, he had actually obeyed, you see, God's government, and he had cast off all the people who are doing witchcraft in Israel. That is what we read in verse 6 also. But again, it is given in verse 7. Now, against God's will, what King Saul did was that he went and sought for a, you see, woman who could speak to the dead. 1 Samuel 28:7. Read verse 7, brother. 1 Samuel 28:7.
Shall I? Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit as Endor, at Endor.
At Endor. See, this was against God's commandment. When he was obedient, he had himself cast off all such women. But now, as God had left him, you see, now he is violating God's ways and going and seeking a woman having evil spirit. What did God tell to the people of Israel? You see, God told, you shall not have any such people in the land. Deuteronomy 18 chapter 9 to 12. Deuteronomy 18 chapter 9 to 12. Stephen, brother, please read. Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 12.
Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of the times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee.
You see, what does it clearly say? The law clearly said that thou shall not have any such people who do witchcraft, consult with the familiar spirits. You see, necromancers, all these are abomination. Thou should cast away out from the promised land before the face of the Lord. Hence, Saul, when he was obedient, he did this one. But now God has left him. Philistines are coming to attack. You don't know what to do. So he wants to know what actually would happen in the war. Hence, he went and meets this woman of Endor who does a witchcraft. You see, this was totally against the Lord's will. Okay. Now, as he went, the woman asked, okay, what do you want? Then immediately King Saul said, please bring me up, you see, dead Samuel. I want to speak to him. Read 1 Samuel 28:11. Binod brother.
Okay, sir. 1 Samuel 28:11. Then said the woman, who shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel.
Bring me up Samuel. Then what happens? You see, woman does some you see, magic gizzy candle. You see, then what happened? She saw God's ascending from earth, it seems. Read, brother, verse 13, brother.
13 also.
Yeah.
And the king said unto her, be not afraid, but what sweetest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth.
What did she tell? She said, I am seeing God's ascending out of the earth. Now, where are gods? Are they under the earth? That they will come from the earth. They should be in heaven, no? But here she says, gods are ascending from earth. Okay. Now, next, what happened? You see, now a person comes. You see, then Saul is very curious. Saul asks, oh, who is that man who is coming up? Please describe him. That immediately, you see, the woman tells the description of the man who is coming up. She tells, I see an old man, you see, covering with a full mantle, you see. And King Saul, you see, jumped to a conclusion without even seeing the person who's coming back. there saying that it is dead Samuel. Read verse 14 also, brother.
Okay. 14 also, and he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh of, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stopped with his face to the ground and howled himself.
You see, what did she say? Saul asked, what are you saying? Please tell me, what is the form? But here you observe, Saul did not directly see Samuel. She was the one who described him. She said, I see an old man covered with robe. And immediately, King Saul come to a conclusion saying, and he assumed that this person should be Samuel, while he did not see him directly at all. You see? And you see, what happens next? See, this is clear proof. See, Samuel was not seen directly by King Saul, okay? Because the woman described, this is just wearing a robe, an old man. And do you think an old man wearing a robe is all the persons who are wearing a robe with an old man? Is it Samuel? No. So, woman gave the description. So, he came to a conclusion. Next, what happened? Next, read verse 15. Verse 15, brother.
And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?
You see? And Samuel said, why have you disturbed me that you bring me up? Oh, that means a witch can disturb prophet Samuel's sleep. Then she asked Samuel, now speaks to King Saul. You see, you remember when Samuel was alive, he did not go to speak to Saul once he was rejected until his death. He did not go and speak at all. But now the person was not speaking to Saul. He is again speaking to King Saul, it seems. Read, brother, verse 16, brother, Stephen, brother.
Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy?
You see, he is clearly telling, why are you coming and asking me when Lord has himself departed from you and he has rejected you? You see, has become your enemy. Why are you asking me? So, even then, you see, the pretended, Samuel, he tells one prophecy. What does he tell? Verse 19. Ganesh brother, you there? Ganesh brother, verse 19, you can read.
Okay, thank you. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Palestinians, and tomorrow shall through, and their sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the last of Israel into the hand of Palestinians.
Now, you see, the person who came, he tells her tomorrow war will happen with Israel, but Israel will lose the war. What will happen to him, sir? You and all your sons, shall be with me. Israel shall be delivered to the hands of Philistines. Now, okay. If this person who came back to life and spoke to King Saul was really, you see, really Samuel was dead, and Samuel's prophecy about the war should have been fulfilled 100 out of 100%. Isn't it? You see, but here if you observe and study, you see, that prophecy was not completely fulfilled. Now, what did you see the dead Samuel say? Tomorrow, you and all your sons, you see, shall be with me. Now, as told, actually, war happened, but not all the sons of, you see, King Saul were dead. You see, One person was alive. You see, read 1 Samuel 15:35, brother. 1 Samuel 15:35. Who can read?
And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king of Israel.
So Lord repented that he had made a king, Saul, as the king of Israel. Read, brother. Now, what happened in the war? How many of the sons of Saul died? And how many were alive? 1 Samuel 31:6. 1 Samuel 31:6.
So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together.
You see, how many sons died, Simsa? You see, the three sons of Saul died, and all his men. It doesn't say all the sons were dead, you know, because one son actually lived and he ruled over Israel for 2 years. Read 2 Samuel 2:10, brother. 2 Samuel 2:10.
Me?
Yeah. Anybody?
Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David.
You see, what happened to him, sir? Ish-bosheth was alive. He ruled in Israel for 2 years, it seems, sir. That means, as told by the prophet, here it was not fulfilled 100 out of 100%. Dear then, one person was there, he was alive, and he ruled for 2 years. After that one only, okay, he was dead, and his kingdom was taken over by a king, you see, David. Okay. Now, if this is really the dead Samuel, the prophet Samuel, who really was God's holy prophet, if it is really his soul that came back to life, then surely the prophecy of Samuel should have been 100% sure. 100% to 100% pakka fulfillment should be there. But was it fulfilled? No. One son was alive. You see, you read in the Bible, God's prophecy are always very, very fulfilled, exactly to the point, not even a point here and there. You see, like for example, God prophesied about Jezebel, that where she shall die, that she shall die in the Jezreel, you see, where the dogs would come and lick, you see, her blood and heat her body. So, this was exactly fulfilled to the point to point. She fell at the same place where Naboth was killed. At the same place, you see, as God told, the dogs came and licked. Isn't it different? So this is God's prophecy. God doesn't do any partial prophecy. Some people know if somebody tells anything good about them, even if 10% is fulfilled, they are so much happy. You see, but God is not like that. God says 100% and fulfillment is also 100%. That is, you see, the biblical prophecies. Hence, this one was actually, you see, imitated, you see, by the devil himself. You see, okay. How can the devil, Satan, forecast the future, brother? Yes, everybody can forecast the future. Now imagine, who has left King Saul? God himself has left King Saul. Now, if such a person who doesn't have favor of God, if he goes to war, what will happen? Naturally, he will lose. That is what has happened here. And for this one, some prophecy is required. Not at all required, Putran. You see, certain bits of things, we can also guess a future. Okay? Like for example, a government when it's come to power, they make a 5-year plan, a budget, isn't it? So based on that 5 year plan only, almost all activities will be simultaneously covered. You see, so they guess the future for 5 years. Does it mean they're prophets? Does it mean that it's God's this one? No, not 100% of the budget or whatever the forecast is fulfilled, but partially at least some things are fulfilled. Like for example, you know, tomorrow, if I tell you to tell your itinerary tomorrow schedule, your schedule, you see, who can tell? You see, yes, we can also tell our schedule, but how much of it will be fulfilled? Not 100%. You see, some, at least 80 to 90% will be fulfilled. Like for example, if you ask, brother, what is your tomorrow? What will happen in your life tomorrow? I will clearly tell what will happen in my life tomorrow. See, tomorrow I'll wake up at 4 o'clock, you see. Then 5 o'clock I'll take a service subject to the brethren. Then after at 1 till 5:30, 6:30, that prayer will go. Then 7 o'clock, we will prepare the for Sunday service. Then we will gather all together for a Sunday Ecclesia gathering at 10 o'clock. Then prayer and all will be over by 12:30. You see, all brothers and sisters will depart. Then I'll have my lunch, take a little bit rest. Then evening, again, we'll have the class. One class at 5 o'clock, one class at 6 o'clock, one class at 8 o'clock. After all these things, we go to bed. Again, Monday morning, early morning, I wake up. See, whatever I have told about my life, you see, will it be fulfilled? Yes. At least 90% of it will it be fulfilled if you see, yes, it will be fulfilled. Does it mean that we are prophets of God? No, dear brethren. See, based on our trend, we can guess to a certain extent that these things will happen. And these things really happen. And no one required for any prophecy or anybody to come and tell. And moreover, you see, in King Saul's case, you see, God has rejected him. Satan also knew very well. If God has rejected a person, if he goes to war, what will happen? He will not win. He will definitely lose. There is no doubt at all. You see, King Saul himself knew that if he goes to war, he will lose it. Hence, he wanted to know, really I'm going to lose or not? That's what the devil spoke. That's all. Okay. This is not, you see, the God's holy prophet, Samuel coming back to life, because nobody can come back to life until Christ comes a second advent. Here, first point to be observed is that Saul did not see Samuel at all. You see, the woman was the one who described it. Based on her description, he guessed this is Samuel. Why? Everybody, you see, whoever wears the robe, is it Samuel? No? Isn't it? Every old person is Samuel. Okay? No. You see, she guessed, gave some description, and he guessed it. And moreover, do gods come from earth? They are in heaven, no? And prophecy, or God's prophecies, just partially fulfilled? No. It is fulfilled 100 to 100%. Then how did, you see, devil show person coming back, you see, coming from the earth? How did he show it visually? You see, dear brethren, see, nowadays we have the technology of hologram. See, this is the hologram technology. Just by putting a magnetic electronic gadget on the body and oning it, exactly our duplicate will stand next to it. Does it mean it's a real one? No, it's a technology, hologram technology. You see, and the laser technology on the naked sky, pictures are shown. You see, dear brethren, this technology, we have it with our now. But Satan, you see, he's the father of life, the prince of the power of the air. He has all these technologies even from before. So, it is not a great thing to show something with visual and sound effect. But the fact is that the things are not 100% fulfilled as told by God. This itself is a clear proof that here, dead, you see, Samuel never came back to life. Because when God says that you should not contact the person who speak to dead, you see, it can't be that dead are somewhere, you see, and they will come back to life. It is purely the work of the devil, you see, to deviate from real truth. Therefore, the Bible says the soul dies. Hence, God knew that the soul dies. The people of Israel also knew. Hence, God told, you should never speak to all these persons. Because if you go and speak, who will actually speak? You think that the dead person will speak, but actually it will be the devil who is speaking through them. Okay? So this is the first point. Now, second incident is Moses and Elijah coming and speaking to Jesus. Okay? Let us read Matthew 17 chapter verse 1, 2 and 3. Matthew 17 chapter verse 1, 2 and 3. Shaji brother, can you read?
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him.
You see, what happened is, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountain. Jesus was transfigured, like a light, shining like a bright light. And Moses and Elias were talking to him. Okay? Now, immediately, Peter reacts and tells, Lord, give us the permission to build a three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Okay? Now, how did Peter recognize that who is Elijah and who is Moses? How did the disciples recognize that? Who were Elijah and who were Moses? Tell me. How did Peter recognize? Did Moses and Elijah put any ID card? How? Tell Shaiji brother, tell me, how? Vinod brother?
No idea, brother.
No idea, okay. Ganesh brother, Vinod brother, Stephen brother? Try to guess. How did...
No idea,
okay. Ganesh brother, any idea?
Sorry, sir, no idea.
Okay, Vinod brother? Okay, I'll give you the clue. It's in third verse. Who can tell me? Just read the third verse and tell me. Who can tell me by reading the third verse? Please read verse 3 with us.
Verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with
him. How did they recognize? You know how? By them talking to Jesus. That means what? Moses and Elijah would have come. They would have had conversation with Jesus. Jesus would have told, oh, what Moses? How are you? So similarly, he would have told Elijah, how are you? Or something like that. Jesus would have, you see, mentioned their name and spoken to them. That is how the disciples identified, oh, this is Elijah. This is Moses. Okay. Now, if the Bible tells that the dead are really dead, they can't come back to life until the second advent of Jesus, how come Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus here? How come Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus in this incident? Vinod brother, you're there? How did Moses and Elijah appear? Vinod brother? Okay. Read verse 9. The answer is given in verse 9. Vinod brother, can you read verse 9? You there? Okay. Okay, Stephen brother, can you read verse 9, brother?
And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.
Tell the vision to no man. That means what Jesus showed to the disciples here was not a real thing. It was a Vision. Vision means what? Real thing. No, dear brethren, you see, huh? Vision. I also saw one vision, you know. In my vision, whom I saw? I saw Moses. In my vision, I have seen Abraham. In my vision, I have seen Daniel. I have seen Joseph. I have seen lot of, you see, the biblical people in my vision. I have seen even Jesus also. What vision? Tell me, what vision? Huh? Television. What vision? Television. Huh? They say, no, I saw a darshan. What darshan? Durdarshan. Television. You see, those days, there was no technology, so only vision was there. But today, what is there? Technology with vision is called as television. You see, so you come to my house, I'll show you all these persons on my TV. Yeah? So, vision is not a real thing. So, today also, if you play a Moses film, you can see Moses, Joseph, Abraham, Adam, everybody you can see. Does it mean that they really come back to life? Huh? No, dear brother, this is a vision. We have seen so many visions in the Bible. Isn't it? Daniel 2nd chapter, we have seen a vision now. You see, the king and Daniel saw a multi-metallic image structure. You see, in book of Zechariah, we've seen visions. You see, again in Daniel 7th chapter, there is a vision of four beasts. Is it literal? Huh? The four beasts literally came out. Huh? No, dear brother. So, this is a vision. Vision is never a real thing. Hence, this is not a proof that Moses and Elijah literally came back to life. Okay? So, this can be taken as a proof that the soul is immortal. Soul doesn't die. This is only a vision. Okay? Okay then. Now, the next incident is the thief on the cross. Isn't it? Where did the thief go? What did Jesus tell to the thief? Huh? Let us read. Stephen, brother, please read Luke 23:43, brother.
And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Jesus said unto the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today only you shall be with me in paradise. So many people, you see, based on the scripture, they say, oh, thief, on the very day he repented and went to paradise along with Jesus. So you also can repent today. You can go to heaven even by repenting at the last moment. Oh, very good. Okay. Now, Jesus died on the cross. Then what happened? After Jesus' death, what happened? Did Jesus immediately go to heaven? Tell me, did Jesus immediately go to heaven or was he in the grave for 3 days? All right, simple question I'm asking. After death of Jesus, where was Jesus?
He was in the grave three days.
He was in the grave, isn't it? Read Acts 10:40. Acts 10:40. Binod brother, you're there?
Yes, sir.
Please, brother, read Acts 10:40, brother.
He got raised up the third day and showed him openly.
See, third day only Jesus is resurrected. If he himself has not gone to heaven the very same day, how can I tell to the thief that you shall be with me in paradise the same day? Isn't it, no? Jesus himself did not go. How can I tell to the thief that you will be with me? Okay, first thing. And second thing, did the thief ask for the forgiveness from the Lord? No. Did he ask for forgiveness of sins? No. Did he repent from his mistake? No. No such scripture is given there. You can read in your home. Thief never repented nor sought for forgiveness. Many people use this example and tell, even if you repent today, Lord is forgiving you. You will be saved the very moment. If the salvation was so free and so easy, dear brethren, we also can close all our Bibles. Because by the time we die, last moment, at least 5-10 minutes before, or even few seconds before, we will come to know. At that moment, we can also cry like the thief and say, oh Lord, please forgive my sins. The Lord will easily forgive our sins and immediately take us to go to heaven. This is God's plan. Can somebody go to heaven in such an easy way? What does the Bible say? how we need to attain the heavenly salvation. How are we saved? Read Acts 14:22. Read, brother. Acts
14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
How do we enter the kingdom of God? Just by repentance at last moment. No. Through much tribulation. Underline it. Through much tribulation, we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, not just repenting at the last moment. So if that was the case, why should we struggle a lot? We can also enjoy our life and live a comfortable life. At the last moment, we can repent and go to God. That is not what the Bible teaches. This is what some people misunderstand the scriptures, twisting it, interpreting a very wrong way. Okay. Now, first of all, what did the thief ask? What was the question of the thief? You see, let us read what was the question of the thief. Luke 23:42. Binod brother, read verse 42, brother.
Okay. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom.
Did he ask for forgiveness, brother? Did he repent? No, nothing is given. What did he say? Lord, please remember me when you come into my kingdom. Correct, no? When you come into your kingdom. Okay? Now, you tell me, what would have been the proper answer of Jesus for this question of the thief? Say, remember, the thief asked, Lord, please remember me when you come in thy kingdom. Okay? Now, for this question, okay, what should be the proper answer of the Lord? What should be the proper answer of the Lord? He requested Jesus to remember him. Now, what should Jesus say? Tell me, you're all there. Saiji brother, Binod brother, Ganesh brother, Stephen brother, please reply. What is the proper answer for this question?
Bible, brother. Next words.
No, generally, if somebody asks you to remember something, what will be the general reply? Now, like for example, you will tell, Brother Raju, tomorrow if I come to your house, please remember this thing. Now, what should my reply be?
Okay, I'll remember.
Yes, okay, I'll remember. That's a simple answer, no? That is the exact answer what we should give. Similarly, when a thief asked Jesus to remember, the correct answer would actually be, yes, I will remember. Correct, no? Huh? The thief asked, remember me. Jesus should have simply answered, yes, okay, I'll remember you. But instead of that one, what was the reply of Jesus? Read verse 43 now. Read verse 43.
And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Instead of answering that one, Jesus answered, verily, verily I say unto thee, today you see, shall thou be with me in paradise. Now, everybody think that Jesus actually promised the thief that today only you will be with me in paradise. Okay? Actually, you know, there is actually a small punctuation mark here. You see, we can see in this slide. You see, there is a punctuation mark. Now, where is the punctuation mark in the Bible? Sage brother, where is the punctuation mark? There's a comma, no, in the sentence. Where is the comma?
After today.
After?
Today.
Today. Correct, no? That means what? After today means, sir. Verily, verily, I say unto thee today. Verily, verily, I say unto thee today. Correct, Wait, I'll open my Bible also. Luke 23. 23:43. Brother, Stephen brother, where is the punctuation in your Bible? Open the Bible and see. Stephen, brother. Open, everybody open your Bible, not from the screen. Please open your Bible and say, Binod brother, read from your Bible. Ganesh brother.
But I use the mobile Bible actually.
Oh, you're using the mobile?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Anybody who's having the Bible? Stephen, brother. Brother Binod. Brother Ganesh. Oh, nobody has the Bible.
Luke 23:40.
Yes, 23:43.
Okay. Luke 23:43. Here it is written as...
Read a little bit louder, brother, please.
And Jesus... As Ganesh Jesus said
read.
To him... As Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Where is the comma?
Comma.
Is it after today or before today in the Bible?
There is no comma in the KJV, after today.
After?
Today, there is no comma in the KJV.
Where is the comma, I asked. Not at where doesn't is the comma. Where is the comma, brother?
Verily I say unto thee, comma.
Ah, comma. That means comma is before today, correct? No?
Yes.
Your reply should be very clear. Then only I can teach you properly. See, I need to understand how much you all understand. Okay, then only I can teach you properly. So I expect proper, clear answers for everybody. Please open your Bibles, look into your Bibles and see where is the comma. It clearly says, verily I say unto thee, comma, correct? Today shall thou be with me in paradise, correct? Correct, everybody?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So the comma is not after today, the comma is before today, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Now, just if somebody is good at English, the comma before today and the comma after today usually makes a huge difference. Correct now? Yes. How difference it makes? See, if you put the comma, you see, before today, you know what it means? It means, I'll read the verse for you. This is the way you should read the Bible, loudly and very clearly. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Now, if you read this way, the comma before today, you know what it means? It means Jesus is saying to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, this is what is printed in the Bible. Now, you just put the comma after today and read. Stephen, brother, read. Put the comma after today and read loudly and clearly.
Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
No. Read again clearly. You are expert in English, so you should be reading it very aptly.
No, what exactly, verily I say unto thee, is a comment. Today is an adverb.
No.
Shalt thou be with me in paradise?
No.
Paradise is the place.
Mm. Okay. Shalt thou read be for with you. No, okay, listen, I read for you. How difference it makes, you just observe it. Okay, brother? See, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee today, shall thou be with me in paradise. Now, what is the meaning? What is the difference between what I read before and what I read now? Did you observe? I'll read again. Everybody, please concentrate. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. That is what printed in the Bible. But if you put the comma after today and read, you know, what does it come? Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee today, shall thou be with me in paradise. You know, what is the meaning? The first thing what Jesus was telling is that today only you will be with me in paradise. How is this possible? Jesus himself did not go to paradise the very same day. Jesus did not go to heaven on the very same day. How can he make a false promise to the thief? So the punctuation mark should actually be after today. And what meaning comes if you put the punctuation mark after today is that Jesus says to the thief, today I'm telling you, today itself I'm telling you that you will be with me in paradise. That means what? I am saying you today, I am making this promise to you today that you will be with me in paradise. Not that you will be with me this very same day in paradise, you see, but I am making the promise to you today. This is the difference. Dear brethren, for your kind clarification, actually this punctuation mark, the comma, full stop, the chapter division, verse division and all is not there in the original Bible at all. You see, original Bible doesn't have all these things at all. This was put by the translators only after 14th century. Until then, there was no comma, no full stop, anything. So, just by putting the comma here and there, it makes a lot of difference, dear brethren. So, Jesus actually promised the thief saying, today, I'm telling you, today I'm telling you, you will be with me in paradise. So it has got a lot of meaning changes. Like for example, you see, just see the difference of comma. Oh, comma makes a difference in English. You see, English is very, very important. If you put the punctuation, so the meaning changes drastically. the same thing actually the devil did to Garden of Eden. To whom? To Eve. What did God say? You shall not eat the fruit thereof. If you eat the fruit thereof, what will happen? What will happen? What did God say? Read Genesis 2:17. Read, brother. Genesis 2:17. Read, brother.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
See, thou shalt surely die. Now, this sentence, Satan changed only by adding a small word. What is the word that he added? And what did he, how did he change by just adding one word? Read Genesis 3:4. Genesis 3:4, brother.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely die.
You shall surely die. You're seeing the screen and reading. Now read.
No, not. Oh, you're sorry. You shall not surely. Why did you do that trick then?
So I'm observing who is opening the Bible and reading. Now read, brother.
You shall not surely die.
See, the word not. What changes now? You just one word not. It changed the entire meaning. You see, thou shall surely die, thou shall surely not die. Just one word not, dear brethren. So similarly, we have seen and heard this story. I'll tell you the story. Once there was a judge, he was giving a judgment for a culprit. Okay, he made a judgment below the typist for typing it, sir. The judge pronounced a judgment telling, kill him, not spare him. That means what? The judge actually told, kill him, don't spare him, kill him, comma, not spare him. But the typist, while typing, he made a small mistake. You know what is the mistake? He put the comma after not, instead of before not. Now what happened? The sentence itself changed. See, I'll tell you. Kill him not, comma, spare him means what? Don't kill him, leave him. You see, just one comma here and there, same sentence. You see, just put the comma before not and read, that means kill him. You put the comma after not and read, it means, you see, not kill him, leave him. A matter of life and death in small comma. This is what has happened in the thief. You see, dear brethren, the thief on the cross. The original Bible doesn't have any comma, any full stop, nothing is there. All these things are added by the translators only in 1551 century. Until such thing, there was no. Okay. Now, why did Jesus give such a favor to the thief? You see, because on the cross, nobody comforted Jesus, but at least the thieves told some few comforting words. That was very comforting to Jesus. Hence, Jesus said, as he requested, I will surely remember you, you see, in my kingdom. But instead of saying this one, Jesus put it forth in a different way, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you today, you shall be with me in paradise. Now you tell me, paradise means what? Who will answer? Paradise means what? Where is paradise? Nobody has seen paradise. Huh? Nobody knows about paradise.
Kingdom of God.
Tell me, Ganesh Brother.
Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden.
Eden.
You see, actually, that is the real meaning. But everybody thinks paradise means heaven. That the thief went to heaven. Did Jesus promise a thief heaven? No, dear brother. See, for the Bible, Bible is his own dictionary. If you have any question from the Bible, we need to search only from the Bible. Then only we'll get the proper meaning. See, we should not take one scripture and build a whole theory. See, how have we studied the subject of soul? We haven't taken one scripture. We have taken the entire scripture from the whole Bible and brought it to a single picture. Then only we are able to understand the subject of soul. Similarly, paradise means what? We need to search from the Bible. Now, where is it given in the Bible? Read Revelation 2:7. Binod Brother, you are there?
Yes, sir.
Good. Revelation 2:7. You understanding, brother? You following up?
Yes, sir.
Please. Revelation 2:7, brother.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God.
You see, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, in this paradise, what is there, Ishimsa? Which tree is there?
The tree of life.
Very good. Tree of life. Now, you tell me, where was the original tree of life? Where do we read in the Bible? The tree of life was there?
In the Garden of Eden.
Yes, in the Garden of Eden. Where is it given? Read Genesis 2:9.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
The tree of life also in the middle of the garden. That means the tree of life in the middle of paradise of God is the Garden of Eden. You know, actually, that word paradise, from the Greek word, it is paradios. You know what is the meaning of Eden? Paradios means park. That is the way Eden Park was there. Eden Garden was there. Dear brethren, in the Eden Garden only, the tree of life was there. Now, Jesus promised the same thing to the, you see, thief. What did the thief request? When you come into your kingdom, please remember me. Jesus said, yes, I will remember you. Because when I come back, the second coming, this earth will be like a beautiful Garden of Eden. You see, as it was in the Garden of Eden, the same conditions will be restored. So, I will remember you when I come in my kingdom. That's what Jesus said. Paradise means not heaven, dear brethren. It is not at all heaven. It means the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Eden condition. The whole world will be made a beautiful Garden of Eden condition at the second advent of Jesus. Now, why is so special favor to the thief? Because what did Jesus say in Matthew 10:42? Read, brother, Matthew 10:42. Sanju, brother, can you read Matthew 10:42?
Yes, brother. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
You see, Jesus said, if anybody gives a cup of water to drink, In my name, they shall have the reward. Imagine, just a cup of water they will have reward means for any person. But for the person who spoke comforting words to Jesus on the cross, he won't be taken to heaven, but he will get some special favor in Christ's kingdom. You see, dear brethren, this is what Jesus promised, not that he will be taken to heaven. So, dear brethren, so today we have seen some of the scriptures, how, yeah, you see, what is the real meaning? And none of these scriptures gives us the idea that the soul is immortal. So, if you study the Bible, Bible gives a totally different picture. So, we should stop reading the Bible. We should study the Bible. There's a lot of difference between studying the Bible and reading the Bible. Today, many people just casually read the Bible without even concentrating. We should concentrate and read to understand scriptures properly. So, there are still more, you see, points to be covered, which we will be covering next week. Okay? So, till then, God bless you. But as of now, if somebody has got any doubts, you can ask. Anybody, any questions?
PDF, brother, PDF, soul 2.
Okay, I'll send it. Anybody, any other questions?
Thank you so much.
Brother, actually, I bought that NKJV Bible, study Bible it is.
Nah.
So, it's not useful.
No, don't purchase the NKJV Bible, because in NKJV, there's a New King James Version translation. The translation is so poor that, what do you say, the main understanding of the scriptures is totally liquefied. It is totally diluted. The real concept of understanding the scriptures is totally taken off. See, the best way to understand the Bible in English is first use the KJV Version. Why do we prefer the KJV Version? Because the King James Version was translated from the original manuscripts that were available at then. Okay? And all the other translations, they are translated through this King James Version. So, if you're not able to understand the King James Version, better is that along with that one, we can use ASV, American Standard Version. You see? So, that makes us to understand this Bible better. Or else, along with KJV, you can have NIV, New International Version. So, there also, you see, the translations are aptly made, but not NKJV. NKJV, try not to use it also. And you know, not many people prefer NKJV also. It's not so found so often in many of the Bible bookstores and all. But you can find NIV. You can find even RSV also.
I already bought one.
Okay. Good. No problem. If you bought it, you can use it for a study. But I don't recommend it, brother. You can use RSV. If you're not able to understand KJV, you can use RSV.
RSV.
Yeah, RSV. RSV is also a good translation.
ASV, RSV, and NIV.
Yes.
Okay.
KJV, King James Version. RSV, Revised Standard Version. NIV, New International Version. ASV, if you get, American Standard Version.
Okay, okay.
Okay, I'll tell you.
This, what I bought it from, I bought it from that OM Bookhouse. Near
Kayapuram, towards Kayapuram. Okay, no problem. If you already bought it, not a problem. Next time you are buying the Bible, just call me before buying the Bible. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Okay, you have KJV with you?
No, I use KJV from mobile. I installed the KJV in mobile.
Okay, I'll try to get you. See, that we distributed some Bibles in Sister's House. I'll try to get you on KJV Bible, not an issue. Okay?
And I think what I'm reading from Bible is correct, no? Sorry, mobile is correct, no?
Mobile is correct, but use the Bibles. Why I'm telling you, see, when you use your Bibles and marketing your Bibles, it is useful for always for your study. The mobile is always an option.
Okay.
But that is not a preference. Okay? Good. You're using the Bible. All the technologies are good. But always try to use a physical Bible, personal Bible for yourself.
Okay.
So tomorrow, remind me, I'll give you one KJV Bible English.
Sir, I'll get it from my brother. No problem. Actually, my request was.